That's a hell of a shift.
Get excited, Hugh.
I am excited.
2-11.
For the future.
The star player, late to team meetings. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio.
Clap your hands, everybody.
Hey, yo, the hell with the speakers,
that's right.
Man.
You know what I think
that's my
about when I hear this song?
What's that?
It's when we were at Brian Dawkins' Impact Golf Tournament.
And Ike?
And Ike went out there.
The
and
simpler
he and Bear,
times?
He set us back like 5 years. As he walks by, he don't even know I'm talking about it, but yeah, he set us back 5 years when he did that one.
Yeah, that wasn't, I mean, it wasn't the greatest dancing, but he was excited.
Oh, no, he had fun, man. He was a showman. He had fun. He had a lot of fun.
Well, that was back in the day when the Sixers gave us some excitement, something. They're miserable. Like, the Sixers are a miserable team, and they're exhausting. Like, they are an exhausting basketball team led by an exhausting star player. You know, we had a call a few minutes ago saying, get Embiid out of here. I get him out of here today. Trade him tomorrow. I mean, I this is ridiculous. You brought up this a lot. The contract they gave him, it looks dumber by the minute. Not only is he not healthy, and he's never been healthy anyway. He isn't playing well when he's on the court, and now this. Like, how do they sleep at night over there?
I guess I'm a conspiracy theorist in this sense, Joe.
What do you got?
No, I mean, why now? This is not
why now in terms of the leaking of the story?
All of this. All of that. Why now? I mean, because from the people that, when this story broke, people were texting me talking about this has been going on for years. Rhea texted me, was like, this has been going on for years.
I said, Howard is vindicated. Howard's been saying the same thing in so many words for years.
And 4, 5, 6ers.
And it's great. It feels great that his teammates are at a point, they're at a breaking point.
Yep.
But at the same time, what was the catalyst for this? That's my question. Because, again, there's been speculation since I've been here about his work ethic, and there's been people that have always came to his defense. And he's had moments where he's stepped up to the plate. But I'm just curious I just want to know why was today the day, or last night was the time where it was like, you know what, enough. 10 years in. Why was last night enough?
I'll give you a couple theories. One, this is the worst they've ever played with him, mm-hmm. right? So, like, this is rock bottom. They're 2-11.
Rock bottom.
Yeah, they've never had other good players around him and been this bad. So maybe it's just rock bottom where they're like, hey, enough is enough. Like, this season is going to spiral out of control.
Rook contributing.
What's that?
The Rook
contributing. Right, we're getting surprisingly good play from another player. We should be good. Like, we should be one of the best teams in the NBA when you add McCain to the three stars we have,
mm-hmm.
and yet they can't win anything. They blew a huge lead last night. They can't even come close to beating an average Heat team. The other thing I wonder, Hugh, is if they're tired of his deflecting. I mean, if I'm in that locker room, and you said this a few minutes ago, and I think you're right, it's probably not the first time that this has either come up or they felt it. Maybe they watched that whole episode a couple weeks ago with a writer and said, is this deflecting? Like, what are we doing here? Maybe, like, enough worrying about this stuff. Can you worry about you being on time? I mean, I would wonder that, too. Is he deflecting all the attention away from his own behavior? I mean, that we played the cut of him talking about he's done so much for the city. That's deflecting. That's filibustering. He must listen to the show and listen to you, Hugh. I mean,
yeah,
filibustering.
I caught a stray.
If you think back now, if he's not been showing up on time all year and not getting in shape, and then he holds that whole media, he holds court to filibuster for 15 minutes about how he's done so much for the city. If I'm his teammate, I'm like, this is crazy. BS.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is crazy.
I mean, but how, I guess it come from a different time, but how do you fix your lips to say all of that? It talk about all that you've done, knowing in your heart of hearts that you ain't even coming to rehab on time, knowing that you're not even showing up to stuff on time. That's the equivalent of me coming in here on a daily basis and say, y'all never tell me what this show about, and I'm coming 15 minutes late, and I don't know what the show. Like, that's crazy to me that you have the audacity. I should have played in the NBA, man. They get away with murder.
A little short.
A lot short for the NBA.
A little shrimpy.
I could have ran a point. It could have been a point guard.
Point?
Yeah.
A little bit
heavy.
Do you guys remember Mateen Cleaves? He played
Mateen.
Mateen
from Michigan State, right?
Yes, he won a title with Tom Izzo.
Yeah.
Mateen was kind of
Built, portly.
Built, yeah,
yeah, he was a little portly. Yeah. Well, yeah, but he did the job.
Yeah, there's not many of those portly point guards running around these days.
It's not.
All right, 215-592.
I can't dribble.
No, that's a problem. You'd fit right in the Sixers team. 215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls, your reaction to the Embiid thing, and of course, Soto conversation. As we did start today with a hot stove summit, it kind of shifted away from that. But your calls and all this.
Wow.
What do you got?
The King's chimed in.
Oh, it's vindication day.
He's feeling vindicated.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Did you see
is.
The tweet?
I'm going to ignore it for now.
Look, I saw it. He's got every right to flex.
He's super flexing.
He should. Howard should walk around here peacocking because he was right.
Like
about
he already being. Doesn't do that.
No, but we usually laugh at him when he does it.
But now we can't laugh.
Yeah,
he should call into the afternoon show today.
Oh, that'd be great.
We get on this like at the top of the show.
I need that. I need Howard to call the afternoon.
Unprompted,
show.
Just be on the line like he's a caller.
Yeah, and just rip Embiid.
He about to lose his stuff. Today,
yeah, hopefully man. Spike had himself enough coffee today. He's gonna need the energy for today. Let's go to Tom in Middletown. What's up, Tom?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Tom, what are you feeling?
All right, listen, I want to talk Phillies. All right,
what do you got?
The floor is yours, bro.
I don't give a shit.
I would like to trade Boone because I think he's got a high value right now, and I don't think he's really accepted. From what I'm hearing, I don't think that he's really part of this team right now, but he's got a high trade value. I think we can get some good prospects, whatever. I could put Sosa to third base for right now. I'm not worried about that. And I would definitely trade Turner. I mean, that guy is just a wasted salary right now. That's just a too big of a salary. I don't know what you can get for him. I mean, what can you get for him?
Trey, I mean, I think if they did trade him, it'd be a dump. I mean, you're not going to get much back. I mean, you could trade a prospect with them, and then maybe someone would give you salary relief or, you know, just take all the it would be complicated, Tom, but I'm not thinking you'd get much back because that's a bad contract. I mean, it's an anchor. It's an anchor on a team.
Now, can you move Stott to short base?
I think you could. Okay. I don't know if he'd win a gold glove there, but I think he'd be serviceable.
Okay, now can we get a second baseman out of the trade from Boone? Or do we have somebody in the farm system? I don't know.
Not ready next year. But yeah, you could probably do that. Or you could trade Boehm, like you said, for prospects and then flip the prospects for a real second baseman. I mean, you can move things any way you want. I mean, I think there's a way to kind of reimagine this thing. And I'm with you, Tom. I think they're done with Boehm. All right, Tom, what do you got for us? What do you got for us in terms of a 1-2 punch?
Okay, I'll tell you what. Mm-hmm. And this has a Douglas name to it.
Oh.
Buster Douglas 1-2 against Mike Tyson. Knocked him out for the first time ever.
Oh, the Buster Douglas 1-2. Hugh, you like that one?
Nah.
Okay, Tom, we appreciate it. Hugh gave
you
the
though. Nah, that's not a good one.
No, because
did you drift off during that call?
I have a propensity to drift off at times, but no, not that time.
He was engaged in that one. He just didn't like the answer. You guys are being hard on the answers.
No, listen.
Ketchup and fries.
That's a bad answer.
Joe is starting to notice when I check out.
Yeah, no, I am.
It's hard not to.
Yeah, because I'm like, yeah, that's not a good one.
I cannot believe. It's not Jack and Coke, we know that.
No, but see, that's not even the best one, even though that is a really good one, and now I feel bad, because nobody's thinking 1-2 punch. It could be anything. It could be 1-2, Sonny and Cher. It could be
you did it again?
No, I'm just saying people aren't thinking outside the box.
Well, this is a joke, quite frankly.
People are upset. I just thought of another 1-2 punch. There was a little clue there. I just heard it. I heard part of it.
And you know what? It's another one that I just thought about that they made a great song back in the 80s.
Well, they were 1-2 punch. Open. I mean,
it's one that's very iconic. You know,
are they an actor or are they an artist?
Well,
stop! Don't even.
I might try to guess this during the break.
Okay. Kyle thinks he has it. All right, 215-592-9494.
Yeah,
ComboCon.
People are mad at me now.
Yeah, they should be. Midday Show's Ultimate Tailgate Giveaway. We're giving away Jack Daniel's Yeti Cooler, a cornhole set, and Giant Jenga, Gerhardt smoker, and a 55-inch TV.
He caught it.
He got it?
He caught it. And I gave Kyle's, what, 20-some years old, and he caught the hint that I was giving. Threw it, knocked it out the park.
You feel vindicated.
Yes, I do.
Just like Howard.
Just like Howard.
It's a really good one.
It's a really good one.
I thought of the first duo to make a song together in the 80s that popped into my head.
Okay, let's go to Greg in Hamilton. I believe he's ready to go. What's up, Greg?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Greg. What's up?
I'm Hugh Douglas on this here, Hugh. I really believe that this story leaking out right now could create some dissension within the locker room. I mean, again, kudos for Maxie for doing it, but the problem is that this is something that should be kept in-house, in the locker room, and especially if you know that Joel is listening to the radios and whatnot there, this could create a little problem, which we'll see in the upcoming, you know, the rest of the season. We'll see how the interaction between the two are on the court after this little episode here.
Greg, I think it's a good point. So when this stuff happens and it gets out, it means someone wanted it out, right? This didn't happen by accident. So that is the question now, Hugh. Who wanted this to get public? Sometimes team meetings happen. The Phillies had a couple this year, right? And we never heard the contents of really what was said. Maybe someone called someone out. I mean, we never found that out because they didn't leak it. Hugh, mm-hmm. It tells me someone wanted this to become public.
Yeah, these are the type of things, man, because this has been going on for a while. So that I question the timing in all of this. I really do question the timing. And it's just, the timing is just weird. It's weird timing.
Greg, what do you got for us for Combo?
All right, Greg.
ComboCon, what do you got, Greg?
Starsky and Hutch.
That's a good one.
That's a good 1-2 punch. Greg,
thinking outside the box.
I like that one a lot. All right, so should we do a little reckless speculation on this?
Let's go for it.
Well, we always do that when big things happen here. Who leaked this thing, and why did they leak it? So we have all, I mean, we know the characters, right? It's the whole coaching staff led by Nick Nurse, and it's all the players that were in there last night. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Joel Embiid didn't leak this because he looks ridiculous. So why would he leak it? So let's
move. It's like a game of Clue.
It's a game of Clue, right? who did it, and what room?
Nick Nurse in the locker room.
Hugh, if you had to put some reckless speculation on who leaked this out, who would you say?
Oh, I would say the guy that you were trying to fire just a couple days ago.
No, stop. I never tried to fire
Nick
Nurse.
You alluded to that you
wanted
to fire.
No, I didn't.
Kind of.
I like
Kyle,
Nick
back
Nurse.
Me up on this
no,
one.
No,
you can, Nurse.
No, I did not.
You got him, Cam.
What I said was you
alluded to you wanted him
fired.
No,
I did hater.
Not. No, we need to go back and listen to the tape. Mm. I said coaches of 2-12 teams get fired. It didn't mean I want him fired. I mean, if he keeps losing, that's what happens in the NBA. You get fired.
We're not pulling that.
Okay, either. That's because you know what I said.
Doesn't support me.
Yes, that's right. Hugh, I think you might be right on this. It might have been Nurse. He's probably feeling the heat and wants everyone to know, like, this is ridiculous what I got to deal with here. Let's let everyone know. I think you might be right on that.
Yeah, because he's been, and the reason why I say that is because of this. He's been clearly frustrated in some of the meetings, well, some of the post-game press conferences that he's been in. And at some point, you know, especially when you talk about at the beginning of the season, he didn't even know what was going on with Joel. Well, he couldn't say what was going on with Joel Embiid. So he's gotten to the point now where he's probably been listening to the show and he heard that somebody wanted him fired. And he's like, hey, I'm not going out without a fight.
So the other options I would give are the vets, like the older guys who might just be fed up with this. Lowry, who called the meeting. Eric Gordon, I know he just got here, but he's 36 years old. I always wonder if it's guys like that that have been around a long time and they're just like, this is ridiculous what's going on around here. So we gotta change this. But I think you might be onto something there. Nick Nurse might have been the one to put this out there. Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Joe Gillio, what's the Gillio?
What's going on?
Will, what's up, honey?
Hey, man, listen, man. All right, can we get a quick role play? Just a quick one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm the coach in UMB. All right, how you doing, B? So, what do you think the problem is?
What do I think the problem is with Joel Embiid?
No, we go role play real quick. It's not going to take long. What do you think the problem is, Embiid?
Hugh,
I'm the coach.
Oh, I'm Joel Embiid.
Yeah, you're Joel Embiid.
I don't know what y'all trying to do. If I'm channeling my inner Joel Embiid, I don't know what y'all doing. What y'all doing?
Okay.
Wait a minute. First of all, if I'm Joel Embiid, I'm not at work on time, so I'm not here. for you to ask me these questions.
Real quick, right? All right. So,
I don't
okay,
do good at role playing.
You say you don't know, right?
Well,
I'm gonna tell you what the problem is. It's you. Okay, you're the problem, and your problem is trickling down to the rest of the team. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to take some time off. I want you to get back in shape, and I want you to actually understand that we paid you lots of money to run this team. You're the franchise, so now it's time for you to step up, man. It's no more excuses. It's no more injuries. Whatever the injury is, if you got an injury that bad, then guess what? Sit out the season, get the surgery done, because we already invested in you. It ain't no more excuses. And the whole thing is, you're the selfishest person and teammate that I ever seen. You're not thinking about nobody but yourself, man. You're a selfish person. You don't understand the effect that you're having on your own teammates, your fans, and the whole entire organization. We gotta keep defending you, fighting for you. Like, when is it going to end? The time is now, Embiid. And before y'all hang up, I want to give my answer. And I know I already won, but I just want to give it.
Keep but cooking, Will.
Anyway, Embiid. Listen, the time is now. We had 10 plus years of you, and all we got is injury and losses. We went to the playoffs and we lost. And the same thing keeps happening. But you know what you did, you selfish person? You went and played in the Olympics with an injury, got hurt, and not ready for the season. So how you think the fans and your team and the owner is supposed to feel about you? We gave you the money, and now it's time for you to cash in.
That was good.
That was really good.
You picked it up.
Yeah, usually we're doing this in like a hype thing, and you had a hype and angry speech. I like that.
No,
it was good.
That was impressive. Good job.
But again,
but you know what? My answer, I know how we were. I just want to give a funny answer.
What you got?
Y'all may get a laugh out of it. Hey, Hugh, since it's the season, the best combination is Black Santa and Rodney the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I feel attacked.
Oh, a little bit.
I feel attacked because I've heard like you know what the other day right? Me and Paul Grassmatis, my old teammate, were hanging out right, and he sent a picture to Coach Reed, and Coach Reed said, "Who says Santa Claus was white?" And I was like, "Coach, I feel attacked. That was not cool."
It was a joke, Hugh. Come on.
I mean, it was. I didn't find it funny. Is that Black Santa?
All right. Okay.
Well, we got you, buddy.
Black Santa?
Make me a minute.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we appreciate the phone call.
I didn't feel attacked, but I was like, dang, Coach, cracking funnies.
Why? Isn't he a funny guy behind the scenes?
I mean, yeah, but still.
Will doesn't need to give a serious answer because he's already qualified.
Yes, and he knew that. Okay. He was just trying to have some fun.
Yeah. We got a little bit of time to think outside the box, though. Be creative with your answers, people. That's all. We only got two spots left, Joe?
Just today and tomorrow. That's it.
That's it. We got two spots left for these great gifts, and this is the best y'all could do. We're giving away barbecue grills and TVs and Jenga boards, Jenga sets.
It is an incredible prize.
Yes, it really is. And some glass, those glasses.
The rocks glasses?
They might not make it, though.
Yeah. You better get those before you take some home.
You know me and free stuff.
Let's go to a guy that I'm not surprised, and I actually was waiting for his reaction here. That would be Chuck and Mount Airy reacting to Joel Embiid getting called out by Maxey. What's up, Chuck?
Joe Gilio, what's the dealio here?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, listen. I'm starting to realize something, right? Max, you're starting to realize what we see, okay? And the thing about Joel, it doesn't matter if you don't want to win a championship. We already know you're a loser. You know, you don't want to win. You know, you probably don't even want to be here anymore. But be a man about it and just request a trade. You know what I mean? Don't pit us through this circus stuff. Request a trade and say you want out because you're turning this whole city against you now. You know, it used to be just me, you know, people like me that would call up and say things about Joel. You know what I mean? And people would just laugh at us. You know, and you know, like sometimes Joe would go on his show, Joe Gilio, his show, and he'll rip
they wanted to close their eyes at the truth, Chuck. They didn't want to see it for a long time.
Nobody wanted to see it. Now everybody's eyes are starting to widen open to this guy. This guy's a loser. Okay, he doesn't want to win. All right, he's not team ready. He doesn't care about team. He doesn't care about this city. He cares about himself,
and what he wants and what Joel wants to do. He doesn't care about his teammates. He doesn't care about his coaches. He doesn't care about these fans. He doesn't care about nothing. He's a selfish brat, and that's what he is. And I tell you one thing, right? Joel will never, ever be successful anywhere he goes. His days are behind him. And I've been beating this door down for years now about Joel. Well, everybody see what we're talking about, okay? The guy didn't come into – it's not about him going to the Olympics. You know, you didn't even come into this season with a will to win. You had no intentions on winning at all, and you still don't. You know, you're out there just lagging, you know, and that's why Tyrese Maxey, he sees it, along with the other teammates. But see, those guys are like one-year deal guys, so they're not going to say anything about it. They feel like they don't have a place to say anything about. But see, Tyrese Maxey, he's a cornerstone to what the Sixers are doing. So he has the place to say something, speak up about it. And this is a guy, this guy looked up to you, but now he sees what you're really about. And he called you out. And I'm so happy he did. Because now it shows everybody's putting in on, and it's putting a limelight on it, Joe. And he, it's putting a limelight on what this guy really is about. You know, Joel has handcuffed this franchise for years. He has handcuffed this city for years. You know what I mean? To sit there and be so selfish to say that you did so much for this city, so much for this organization, stand third. This organization has built team after team after team, coach after coach after coach. You've done nothing but throw Ben Simmons under the bus. You've done James Harden under the bus. You've done Doc Rivers under the bus. You've thrown guy Brett Brown under the bus. Now it's on you, Joel. And we're sitting here at a 2-10 clip because of you. You know what I mean? See, the Sixers are going to be the Sixers. You know what I mean? And I'm not happy with the ownership, but I'm really disappointed with this guy because the common denominator is Joel Embiid. You know what I mean? What a loser. What a waste of space. And I'm glad Tyrese Maxey had brought the limelight, the spotlight, to how selfish this guy is as a player. And you guys, any people sit there and compare him to AI, compare him to Barkley and Irvin and Moses Malone, the greats of this study, and Wilt Chamberlain. Are you kidding? This guy don't even hold a candle to those guys. You don't know how to.
It's not, you know,
guys,
Chuck. When you say AI, all you think about is the effort he put in, and now you have the Embiid thing that his teammates are calling out his effort. I mean it's awful.
You never had a player call out AI's effort, man. And I know he didn't practice that third. He could have done better with that in conditioning his body. But when it came to game time, you never seen an ounce of sweat left off that floor from him. And that's what separates him from Joel Embiid from the greats. You know, I mean, this guy is a disgrace, man. And I'm telling you, the Sixers better do away from him because he ain't going to get no better. You know what I mean? He thinks what happened is we spoiled him so much that he just thinks now he can just walk into the arena and just because he's Joel Embiid, you know, we all supposed to bow at his feet. Well, I got newsflash for you, Joel. You ain't nothing. You ain't nothing without your teammates. You ain't nothing without these fans who made you millions of dollars, who got you millions of dollars. You ain't nothing without this city. So you can just, you know what you can do? You can take your ball, take your bag, and you can get the hell out of town. Just be a man about it. Request a trade at this point because you don't want to play basketball here in Philadelphia. Your actions speak louder than words.
They do. Chuck, give us a big answer. What do you got? 1-2 punch.
Vodka and cranberry juice.
Vodka
Look
and cranberry.
You.
That's a good one,
Look,
Chuck.
See, that's what I'm talking about,
now
Chuck. Thinking outside
we're talking.
The box.
All right, 215-592-9490. For your reaction, Joel Embiid called out, according to ESPN, by Tyrese Maxey in a team meeting last night. Your phone calls here. We got to pick the best answer today for the best 1-2 punches out there. All coming up. You got another one?
I can't say it, but it was made into a song.
Boy, the wheels are spinning now.
Yeah,
because
we got 2 days left. We're in the 25th hour. Is that right?
Sure, yeah. Well, yeah, that works. All right,
it means like, you know, 24 hours a day, but it's 25th hour.
That means we're over.
Well, no, we're not over. It's just still
all right.
O'clock.
We'll figure this. We'll figure this out in the break. 215-592-9494. Kiss the baby before we end the show. And another Embiid expert weighs in on the phones next. Your calls, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This was the fear I had for Joel Embiid. You announced arrogantly, I'm not playing back-to-backs, Ernie. I'm not injured, but I'm sore. I come in when I want to come back. Now, when you say things like that, you're supposed to come back with extra energy. 0 for 3, I'd have been 0 for 15. But you know what y'all would have said? Hey, Shaq's not playing well, but he's playing aggressive. So the plan that they're having,
not working.
It's not working. And not only that, I say this respectfully. Joel Embiid will never win a championship until he gets his mind and his attitude right.
Respectfully. He said that respectfully.
You know what? People got mad at when Shaq said that because Shaq was one of those players that was more towards the Joel scale than, let's say, the Michael scale or the Kobe scale. Like, you know,
man Shaq, among boys, big Shaq, man on campus.
Right, and he didn't always take care of his body. He would come in out of shape. But you know what? At some point, he figured it out. And the reality is, I mean, he's a good like someone to tell Joel, like, hey,
springboard, measuring stick.
You got to figure this out. And at some point, Shaq did, and he got himself into better shape. And he also had it helped that he had Kobe and he had Phil Jackson with him. But he's totally right about Joel Embiid. And I'm glad Tyrese Maxey called him out last night. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, we'll get to as many calls as we can here in this segment. Your reaction, Embiid. The Phillies, according to John Heyman, are planning a meeting with Juan Soto. So we do have some good news in the midst of all this today. And, of course, CombiCon today, we are looking for the best 1-2 punch. The best answer we get today qualified for the grand prize, the Ultimate Midday Show Tailgate Giveaway, sponsored by Gerhards and Jack Daniels. And the winner today gets a great qualifying prize.
I don't think we have a clear winner yet. This is still very much an open competition.
I would say on all these CombiCon days, around 1:30, we have like a clear leader in the clubhouse, and then someone's got to try to beat it. I don't think we have that today. So your reaction to all this Philly stuff on our hot stove day, and of course the Joel Embiid story. Sixers get blown out last night. Embiid does not play well. First time in 6 years he doesn't attempt a free throw shot in a game, and then he's called out by his teammates after the game. One more time, can we hear Joel after the game last night? Because there's extra context now. Listen to Joel being asked about the team meeting now that we know it was him getting called out.
I always wanted to give it a chance. So, you know, as long as, you know, I felt like I could be out there and not faint, then, you know, I was going to try regardless.
Kind of
Joe,
I mean, obviously Nick told us about
meeting,
I guess, without
going into
the specifics.
I mean,
specific guys.
Oh,
we out of meeting?
Hey, yo, the hell with the Sixers, man?
No, the level of surprise. When he was like, because I don't think he realized that the media knew what happened.
Well, they do now.
Yeah, they do now.
Wait, maybe that was part of the reason it got leaked. Like, they heard him, like, just dismiss it, and they were like, this guy doesn't get it. Let's tell him. Let's tell everyone what we did.
This is going to be bad to say, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. This is about to get ugly. This is like being in a relationship with somebody, a young lady or a young man who has expensive taste or whatever, and they realize that, you know, you realize that they might, you know, you need to slow down. You're spending too much money or whatever. And they don't realize that they are. It's going to be a whole problem. Like, for him to sit there and, number two things have happened. He got called out by his teammates, which I'm pretty sure from his reaction, he's surprised from the messenger. And he's also surprised that now this is the storyline. Y'all got to think, this is coming off of weeks where a story was written about him. And however you want to take that story, he took it personal. And there was something said, and he compartmentalized the one piece. But the bottom line is the story talked about his work ethic.
Yep.
It talked about his work ethic. And I know people that are listening in earshot, they want to get caught up on, well, you don't say that about him. I'm not talking about that side of the story. The whole point of the piece was talking about his work ethic. So let's stay on topic when it comes to that. I ain't talking about that other stuff. Please, respectfully.
Sorry.
No, I'm still cooking. I got this. You don't see this spoon in this pot over here stirring this pot. This is going to be a problem because off the heels of that, Kyle, now he has to retaliate. He has to come out and he has to do something about this because this narrative this narrative has been validated.
Yeah.
To many of people. If you see Howard out there tweeting, he taking his victory lap.
Oh, he might as well kiss his barrier. Post his barrier end on Twitter because he's telling people.
Please don't well, too tight. Don't go.
That wasn't what I was itching to say though. So I agree. Like this feels like kind of the turning point on Embiid either takes this and says, you know what, like I'm in the wrong here. I need to be better, or He's like, bleep you guys, I'm out of here. Like, the part
it's
that
one of
really,
two things.
The part that sticks out to me is the whole, Embiid accepted it, but said that he didn't like the way that they're executing. Like, another analogy, say me and my girlfriend are about to go out to dinner. I show up 30 minutes late. I get there, and she's like, dude, you're late, what the hell? And I'm like, well, what's all this you ordered?
You didn't include
me. You weren't here.
So
that's a good one.
Yeah. If we are going down the path of this goes one of two ways, it either gets him to finally wake up or he's out of here. I think you guys know what I'm going to say is going to happen. He's going to be out of here soon. I would say much sooner than later, because it feels ridiculous to think now he's going to change. I mean, like, he's not. This is who he is. This is who he's been. It's almost like that person who maybe it's a relationship or a friendship, and like, maybe this is the event that gets him to wake up. Yeah, usually they don't, and they just go back to doing what they do. I think you're right. This is probably going to lead to more nonsense, but I would be very surprised if it led to like a come to Jesus moment. All of a sudden, he becomes this great work ethic guy, and he's locked in. I'd be very surprised. Let's go to Herb in the Northeast, who's got a lot to say on this. What's up, Herb?
Listen, man, I've been talking all year about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Get in the gym, work out, ride the bike, get in the cold pool, get in the hot tub, do what you got to do for your knee, your body, whatever. This is like you're playing up and down the court. You got to take care of your body, pre-game, post-game, and everything. In between the flights, in between the days that you're not playing, stop going in the bars, stop partying after games. Yeah, they were down in Miami. They were down in Florida. They were going in them bars after the games, partying it up. I haven't even watched any of this, man. I'm so tired. I go to sleep at 8 o'clock and I get up 8 o'clock in the morning. I can't even watch a whole game anymore.
Long ass sleep.
Unless I drink a cup of coffee, I can't stay up. Okay,
you're like Hugh, yeah, you fall asleep
only for the Eagles. Yeah, this guy's got to get the mentality. This guy's got to get the mentality like the Philadelphia Eagles are doing now. We got a double threat, and now we got a triple threat because our defense is now coming around and playing bump and run. The linebackers are going north and south, east and west, and making the tackles. That's what I'm talking about for 6-7 months now, okay, and last year, okay? That's where we're at. Now, I got my focus on the Rams right now. That's what I'm talking.
Lock in, Herb. They got a good passing game. Herb, good phone call. You lock in on the Rams. We'll talk later this week. So,
this day went all over the place.
It did. It really did. It really did. Herb getting 12 hours of sleep a night is pretty impressive. I wish I got 12 hours of sleep a night.
Is that?
They went all over the place.
Do we think that has a lot to do with the Herb we know today? He's so refreshed every night.
That was one of Herb's better phone calls.
He was on fire.
Locked in.
That sounded like a 12-hour sleep.
I think. Joel Embiid has become the absolute most divisive person in the city right now.
Yeah.
It's the two camps are at war. And when's the next time they play? What's the schedule?
Tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah. He got to play tomorrow night.
By the way, there was some good news that fell under the radar today. Maxey is going to be back either tomorrow or Friday. So we're getting Maxey back on the court. I can't wait to watch that first interaction with Maxey and Embiid on the court.
I'm pretty sure there's no love lost, but at the same time, You're feeling some kind of way because the messenger.
Well, I think they'll probably be fine because
you got to work through this.
Yeah, and they have a good relationship. But the fact that it came out, I'd be embarrassed if I was Embiid. Like if one of you guys called me out in the meeting before the show for whatever reason, I think we'd get over it.
And then I said it on the air.
Yeah, but you
got to workshop it. You got to workshop it out. You got to workshop that out. You have to realize. Yeah. It's for the greater good.
Yeah. This doesn't come off to me as something that's like, you know, Maxey versus Embiid. This felt like somebody sort of trying to give him a kick in the ass. Like, hey, big guy, like, this is what we need.
That's exactly what it is. But it's coming off the hill. Like, we don't talk about family business. Like, that's where, if it's me, I would be upset. If we had an issue in-house, I would rather that stay in-house instead of, you know, you going to talk to somebody else about it.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes an issue. But again, if it's something where, say, you felt a little apprehensive about calling somebody out, that's something you have to workshop. You know, and I think that's probably where Tyrese Maxey was. He loved the big guy, but at the same time, and especially he was in there rehabbing. And if he's rehab, if he getting up, say, at 6 o'clock in the morning to rehab, and Joel Embiid's coming in at 7:15, He's like, well, damn, I'm busting my ass trying to get back out here, and you've been out longer than me. What's the business?
Yep.
So, yeah, I get that.
I agree. I mean, this is the issue in doing it in front of a whole locker room. Like, if it was just Maxie talking Embiid one-on-one, that's different. But once you include all the coaches, all the other players, you got, you know, loose lips, they sink ships, right? And we got some loose lips because someone ran to ESPN and said, guess what happened last night? Dan is in Albany. Dan's up on WIP. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's going
Dan,
on?
Dan, what's up, buddy? What are you thinking?
Well, so I'm not a Sixers fan, but, I mean, I listen to WIP all the time. It's my first time calling. It is just depressing having to listen to this all the time. I mean, Embiid saying everything he's done for the city over and over. I mean, he hasn't got past the second round. He's done personal accolades and that. But, I mean, I love what Maxie did. The one thing I think is what we were talking about, like, you know, a couple weeks back when the Eagles were spiraling, talk about getting rid of Nick and getting a coach like, you know, say like Mike Tomlin, something like that, you know, someone that would keep people in line and everything. I think that's something Embiid could really use because the team has all the talent. They're coming together. The rookie's amazing. And I just think you need a pushover, like a non-pushover coach like I think Nick Nurse is from what I've seen and what I've seen with the Raptors and everything. I think they're going to need a new coach. If it keeps spiraling going downhill like this,
who you
like
gonna get? Going if you fire Nick Nurse, you know, who you going to get?
How about Hugh Douglas?
Phil Jackson?
Phil Jackson is like 90 years old.
I know. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be.
Hubie Brown while we're at it.
Full disclosure, if I was the coach of anybody's team, especially a basketball team, I wouldn't last 3 days.
Oh, no, you'd be out of there.
I'd be so frustrated and trying to get these guys motivated, I'd have probably swung on one of them.
Yeah, that would be a great
then
story.
I'd have been out of town.
Sixers coach swings at Embiid. I mean, that would be.
What the hell wrong with you?
That's a lot. Dan, I get your point. It's so hard in the NBA because there's so few of those coaches. And then the players get them fired. I think it works better in football because players respect coaches in football. In basketball, it's like, if you challenge these guys, they just get you fired immediately.
That's true. And there's a lot of turnover in the NBA.
A lot, yeah. I mean, I love your idea. I just, it feels like it's a thing of the past. You know, you got to almost earn.
This was the fear I had for Joel Embiid. You announced arrogantly, I'm not playing back-to-backs, Ernie. I'm not injured, but I'm sore. I come in when I want to come back. Now, when you say things like that, you're supposed to come back with extra energy. 0 for 3. I'd have been 0 for 15, but you know what y'all would have said? Hey, Shaq's not playing well, but he's playing aggressive. So the plan that they're having, it's not working. And not only that, I say this respectfully, Joel Embiid will never win a championship until he gets his mind and his attitude right.
Respectfully. He said that respectfully.
You know what? People got mad at when Shaq said that because Shaq was one of those players that was more towards the Joel scale than, let's say, the Michael scale or the Kobe scale. Like, you know,
man Shaq, among boys, big Shaq, man on campus.
Right, and he didn't always take care of his body. He would come in out of shape, but you know what? At some point, he figured it out. And the reality is, I mean, he's a good like someone to tell Joel, like, hey,
springboard, measuring stick.
You got to figure this out. And at some point, Shaq did, and he got himself into better shape. And he also had it helped that he had Kobe and he had Phil Jackson with him. But he's totally right about Joel Embiid, and I'm glad Tyrese Maxey called him out last night. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, we'll get to as many calls as we can here in this segment. Your reaction, Embiid? The Phillies, according to John Heyman, are planning a meeting with Juan Soto. So we do have some good news in the midst of all this today. And, of course, CombiCon today, we are looking for the best 1-2 punch. The best answer we get today qualified for the grand prize, the Ultimate Midday Show Tailgate Giveaway, sponsored by Gerhards and Jack Daniels. And the winner today gets a great qualifying prize.
I don't think we have a clear winner yet. This is still very much an open competition.
I would say on all these CombiCon days, around 1:30, we have like a clear leader in the clubhouse, and then someone's got to try to beat it. I don't think we have that today. So your reaction to all this Philly stuff on our hot stove day, and of course the Joel Embiid story. Sixers get blown out last night. Embiid does not play well. First time in 6 years he doesn't attempt a free throw shot in a game, and then he's called out by his teammates after the game. One more time, can we hear Joel after the game last night? Because there's extra context now. Listen to Joel being asked about the team meeting now that we know it was him getting called out.
You know, I always wanted to give it a chance. So, you know, as long as, you know, I felt like I could be out there and I faint, then, you know, I was going to try regardless.
Joe, and I mean, obviously Nick told us about the meeting, I guess, but I'll go with you to the specifics of it. Like, was it possible to meet with you guys?
Oh, we had a meeting?
Hey, yo, the hell with the Sixers, man?
No, the level of surprise. When he was like, because I don't think he realized that the media knew what happened.
Well, they do now.
Yeah, they do now.
Wait, maybe that was part of the reason it got leaked. Like, they heard him, like, just dismiss it, and they were like, this guy doesn't get it. Let's tell him. Let's tell everyone what we did.
This is going to be bad to say, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. This is about to get ugly. This is like being in a relationship with somebody, a young lady or a young man, who has expensive taste or whatever, and they realize that, you know, you realize that they might, you know, you need to slow down. You're spending too much money or whatever. And they don't realize that they are. It's going to be a whole problem. Like, for him to sit there, and two things have happened. He got called out by his teammates, which I'm pretty sure from his reaction, he's surprised from the messenger. And he's also surprised that now this is the storyline. Y'all got to think, this is coming off of weeks where a story was written about him. And however you want to take that story, he took it personal. And there was something said, and he compartmentalized the one piece. But the bottom line is the story talked about his work ethic.
Yep.
It talked about his work ethic. And I know people that are listening to earshot, they want to get caught up on, well, you don't say that about him. I'm not talking about that side of the story. The whole point of the piece was talking about his work ethic. So let's stay on topic when it comes to that. I ain't talking about that other stuff. Please, respectfully. I'm still cooking. I got this. You don't see this spoon in this pot over here stirring this pot. This is going to be a problem because off the heels of that, Kyle, now he has to retaliate. He has to come out and he has to do something about this because this narrative. This narrative has been validated.
Yeah.
To many of people. If you see Howard out there tweeting, he taking his victory lap.
Oh, he might as well kiss his barrier. Post his barrier end on Twitter because he's telling people.
Please don't. Well, too tight. Don't go.
That wasn't what I was itching to say though. So I agree. Like, this feels like kind of the turning point on Embiid either takes this and says, you know what, like I'm in the wrong here. I need to be better. Or he's like, bleep you guys, I'm out of here. Like, the part
it's
that
one
really.
Two things.
The part that sticks out to me is the whole. Embiid accepted it, but said that he didn't like the way that they're executing. Like, another analogy, say me and my girlfriend are about to go out to dinner. I show up 30 minutes late. I get there, and she's like, dude, you're late. What the hell? And I'm like, well, what's all this you ordered?
You didn't include
me. You weren't here.
So
that's a good one.
Yeah. If we are going down the path of this goes one of two ways, it either gets him to finally wake up or he's out of here. I think you guys know what I'm going to say is going to happen. He's going to be out of here soon. I would say much sooner than later because it feels ridiculous to think now he's going to change. I mean, like, he's not. This is who he is. This is who he's been. It's almost like that person who maybe it's a relationship or a friendship and like maybe this is the event that gets him to wake up. Yeah, usually they don't. And they just go back to doing what they do. I think you're right. This is probably going to lead to more nonsense. But I would be very surprised if it led to like a come to Jesus moment. All of a sudden he becomes this great work ethic guy and he's locked in. I'd be very surprised. Let's go to Herb in the Northeast who's got a lot to say on this. What's up, Herb?
Listen, man, I've been talking all year about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Get in the gym, work out, ride the bike, get in the cold pool, get in the hot tub, do what you got to do for your knee, your body, whatever. This is like you're playing up and down the court. You got to take care of your body, pre-game, post-game, and everything. In between the flights, in between the days that you're not playing, stop going in the bars, stop partying after games. Yeah, they were down in Miami. They were down in Florida. They were going in them bars after the games, partying it up. I haven't even watched any of this, man. I'm so tired. I go to sleep at 8 o'clock and I get up 8 o'clock in the morning. I can't even watch a whole game anymore. Unless I drink a cup of coffee, I can't stay up. Okay,
you're like Hugh, yeah, just fall asleep.
Only for the Eagles. Yeah, this guy's got to get the mentality. This guy's got to get the mentality like the Philadelphia Eagles are doing now. We got a double threat, and now we got a triple threat because
our defense is now coming around and playing bump and run. The linebackers are going north and south, east and west, and making the tackles. That's what I'm talking about for 6-7 months now, okay, and last year, okay? That's where we're at now. I got my focus on the Rams right now. That's what I'm
talking. Lock in, Herb. They got a good passing game. Herb, good phone call. You lock in on the Rams. We'll talk later this week. So
this day went all over the place.
It did. It really did. It really did. Herb getting 12 hours of sleep a night is pretty impressive. I wish I got 12 hours of sleep a night.
Is that?
They went all over the place.
Do we think that has a lot to do with the Herb we know today? He's so refreshed every night.
That was one of Herb's better phone calls.
He was on fire.
Locked in.
That sounded like a 12-hour sleep.
I think Joel Embiid has become the absolute most divisive person in the city right now.
Yeah.
It's the two camps are at war. And when's the next time they play? What's the schedule?
Tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah. He got to play tomorrow night.
By the way, there was some good news that fell under the radar today. Maxey is going to be back either tomorrow or Friday. So we're getting Maxey back on the court. I can't wait to watch that first interaction with Maxey and Embiid on the court.
I'm pretty sure there's no love lost, but at the same time, You're feeling some kind of way because the messenger.
Well, I think they'll probably be fine because
you got to work through this.
Yeah, and they have a good relationship. But the fact that it came out, I'd be embarrassed if I was Embiid. Like if one of you guys called me out in the meeting before the show for whatever reason, I think we'd get over it.
And then I said it on the air.
Yeah, but you
got to workshop it. You got to workshop it out. You got to workshop that out. You have to realize. Yeah. It's for the greater good.
Yeah. This doesn't come off to me as something that's like, you know, Maxey versus Embiid. This felt like somebody sort of trying to give him a kick in the ass. Like, hey, big guy, like, this is what we need.
That's exactly what it is. But it's coming off the hill. Like, we don't talk about family business. Like, that's where, if it's me, I would be upset. If we had an issue in-house, I would rather that stay in-house instead of, you know, you going to talk to somebody else about it. Mm-hmm. That's where it becomes an issue. But again, if it's something where, say, you felt a little apprehensive about calling somebody out, that's something you have to workshop. You know, and I think that's probably where Tyrese Maxey was. He loved the big guy, but at the same time, and especially he was in there rehabbing. And if he's rehab, if he getting up, say, at 6 o'clock in the morning to rehab, and Joel Embiid's coming in at 7:15. He's like, well, damn, I'm busting my ass trying to get back out here, and you've been out longer than me. What's the business?
Yep.
So, yeah, I get that.
I agree. I mean, this is the issue in doing it in front of a whole locker room. Like, if it was just Maxey talking Embiid one-on-one, that's different. But once you include all the coaches, all the other players, you got – you know, loose lips, they sink ships, right? And we got some loose lips because someone ran to ESPN and said, guess what happened last night? Dan is in Albany. Dan's up on WIP. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's going
on? Dan, what's up, buddy? What are you thinking?
Well, so I'm not a Sixers fan, but, I mean, I listen to WIP all the time. It's my first time calling. It is just depressing having to listen to this all the time. I mean, Embiid saying everything he's done for the city over and over. I mean, he hasn't got past the second round. He's done personal accolades and that. But, I mean, I love what Maxey did. The one thing I think is what we were talking about, like, you know, a couple weeks back when the Eagles were spiraling, talk about getting rid of Nick and getting a coach like, you know, say like Mike Tomlin, something like that, you know, someone that would keep people in line and everything. I think that's something Embiid could really use because the team has all the talent. They're coming together. The rookie's amazing. And I just think you need a pushover, like a non-pushover coach, like I think Nick Nurse is, from what I've seen and what I've seen with the Raptors and everything. Yeah, I think they're going to need a new coach. If it keeps spiraling going downhill like this,
who you
like
gonna get? Going to get? If you fire Nick Nurse, you know, who you going to get?
How about Hugh Douglas?
Phil Jackson?
Phil Jackson Douglas, is like 90 years old.
I know. Listen. I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna get
Hubie Brown while we're at it.
Full disclosure, if I was the coach of anybody's team, especially a basketball team, I wouldn't last 3 days.
Oh, no,
I'd be so frustrated and trying to get these guys motivated, I'd have probably swung on one of them.
Yeah, that would be a great
then
story.
I'd have been out of town.
Sixers coach swings at Embiid. I mean, that would be.
What the hell wrong with you?
That's a lot. Dan, I get your point. It's so hard in the NBA because there's so few of those coaches. And then the players get them fired. I think it works better in football because players respect coaches in football. In basketball, it's like, if you challenge these guys, they just get you fired immediately.
That's true. And there's a lot of turnover in the NBA.
A lot, yeah. I mean, I love your idea. I just, it feels like it's a thing of the past. You know, you got to almost earn